This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Travelers finding their way home far and wide by hook or crook, whatever they could possibly do. The disaster that was what happened at Southwest Airlines being untangled in the very beginning of the week. There were less than 2% flights canceled on Tuesday. So that's the good news after 2,000 flights were canceled over the weekend and into Monday. So what was behind that? We're going to chat about it. Also, the big story, the debt ceiling. What was going to happen with the debt ceiling? Of course, before the 18th lifted, the House agreed to lift the debt ceiling. The Democrats sparred on, of course, spending and a broader bill. But the bottom line is this. Expect the debt to go up. We have crashed the clock, that clock that they had in New York that kept saying what the national debt was, is non-existent now because it's a number that it can't handle. And neither can we, but we were in the situation where a default would have sent a lot of people into more perilous positions while they try to scramble and make payments for higher interest rates on credit cards and some other things that probably would have bit us, you and me, more than anybody else in the end. Hey, hey, my name's Kate Delaney. Happy as always to be with you and back in the great state of Texas after my own travel disaster, or it wasn't a disaster because you figure it out, right? Keep calm and carry on. That's the motto, isn't it? So that's what I did. There were people around me that were definitely not living up to that. They really had some meltdowns. I saw a lot of meltdowns, the most I think that I've ever seen traveling for sure, because there's that panic. And then you realize, wow, my American flight gets canceled, but everybody's trying to get on American to get to other places or Delta or some other airline. And now all those seats have been taken up. What do? I'm stuck wherever I am. And I watched something interesting. You know, when you take a breath and walk away and then come back at it when already many flights have already been filled up, I noticed that the people who calmly ask for vouchers to go and stay at a hotel or for a meal voucher, they get it. And then the others that have thrown their luggage, gotten hysterical, left in a huff, they're stuck and they're on the 800 loop going through all of what you have to go through in an automated system trying to figure out a way to get back to where they came from. So all I can say is it is a nightmare when you find yourself in that situation, but the calmer you are, and there were people, like I said, that were not calm. And Southwest and other airlines, I believe, are going to continue to have some of these staffing problems, and that's part of it. And hundreds of flights get canceled, and, you know, you've got also pilots who aren't happy with policies with the vaccine mandate that is coming down the pike, and they say this isn't what it was. It wasn't a sick out, but I think you can expect that there could be other problems, you know, and whether it's bad weather for real or air traffic control issues for real. You also have the pilots union saying that in particular Southwest botched a response to what they said would have been a minor change for other airlines. So it left people stranded. So the pilots are pointing their finger at the company saying they screwed up because there's things that they could have done, but they didn't do it, right? And you had the union president who represents the Southwest Airlines Pilot Association, like 9,000 pilots, who said, you know, we're not anti-vaccination at all, but our pilots are extremely worried about how their medicals are going to be handled if they are unable to fly, he blamed the chaos of the past few days on the operation. They say it's cracked under the slightest pressure, that they use antiquated, this is what he said specifically, antiquated crew scheduling technology that leads to cascading disruptions when flights are canceled in one part of the network. And unions, by the way, at Southwest and American have argued that management is too slow to bring pilots back from leaves of absence and that the airlines persuaded them to take those absences during the pandemic, but it left them short-handed. So this was, we knew this was going to happen. So they say they have an aggressive hiring plan, but pilots are pilots. They have to be able to fly the aircraft that they're on. They have to be checked off on it. And of course there were going to be these problems. Then you throw in some weather here or there and you throw in, a few other things that happen and forget about it. It is brittle and it will crack. And that's what's happened. It's cracked for sure. Some would say this is cracked, meaning Washington, but that's an old, old song we've been singing for far too long. So, what's happened here with the debt ceiling is that it has been, you know, lifted temporarily. So that means there is no not paying the bills. And by raising the debt ceiling, avoiding the default, and the president who now has signed off on that, it does mean, like I said, the simple explanation is we keep paying the bills. It lifts the ceiling by $480 billion. $480 billion. So it's well before October 18th because the Treasury Department said we're running out of extraordinary funding measures. And that's the truth. If we're running out of it, then we're tanked. We're done. And here's the thing. And this is no matter who you are, if you fall into any of these categories. If there was a default on the debt for the first time, it could mean a tanked market, which means people who are depending on 401ks who have worked their rear ends off and are getting a little bit of match in that and they need that, they'll see that go down. And it would mean that there would be other things that would happen. Like I mentioned, interest rates, loans, all that would just soar. Unfortunately, the American public is over a barrel. I mean, the national debt is now pretty close to $29 trillion. So the ceiling extended to cover the debt, of course, by the spending programs and tax cuts passed by Congress in the past. That's it. So the vote was 219 to 206 with every Republican opposing the extension. Republican lawmakers say they're not going to help the Dems who narrowly control Congress to lift the ceiling because they've felt excluded from negotiations on the big ticket spending proposals. That's what they're saying. They don't want to be a part of it, that it's just irresponsible. So anyway, the bill passed the Senate last week after negotiations and 11 Republicans even on Thursday helped Democrats break a filibuster. So that allowed to reach the floor where the majority was able to pass it with no Republican votes. So no default in one sense. It's good in another sense. It's horrible because we're back in that same situation. But I don't want to sing that same old song because I'm sick of that song. So we're going to move on to a couple of other things that I think are pretty significant. And coming up next, we're going to have that conversation at the tail end of my conversation with James Earle. So stay with us.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Lover of dogs, and when you combine that with a fun story, you got me. So, in our virtual green room, James Earl, he's written a book called Petrie, Son of Dog. James, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate being here.
Tell me the road to writing this book. What made you write this book, and what's it about?
Well, the road to writing it was kind of to show the spiritual connection we have with our canine buddies. It seems to me kind of magical. I mean, I like all animals. So British author has said, some we love, some we hate, some we eat. So I take that back. You know, I'll spray for cockroaches and all like that. But I love dogs. There seems to be a stronger bond between us. And we're finding out that, dogs have been around throughout our recorded history. Now, what the book's about, our protagonist is Kurt Mays, Deputy Commander of SEAL Team 3. It's a fictional story, a secular story, but SEAL Team 3 is real. SEAL teams use dog handlers. In fact, when they got Bedlam, they used a dog went in. And he is a brave warrior, but has trouble with the supernatural. His dog is Samson, who is like the great four, yeah. I made a joke of that in the book. Dogs can't count past four. So I'm the great-great-great-great-grandson of Petrie, who was Jesus' dog. And he was reincarnated as a human being and then murdered, and now he's a ghost. And he's come up on the national security level, and Kurt's having trouble. That's the protagonist's struggle there. Kurt's having trouble dealing with this ghost. Brave warrior, highly decorated, except when the supernatural happens to him. And Petrie causes a lot of supernatural. And it jumps around. I kind of did a Kurt Vonnegut Jr. style at Slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Bad. I jump. You know, you go into a story of Jesus and his puppy, and then you're back in the present with Curtis Mayes and Samson, and then back to Jesus. So it jumps around. And I like that style, but it's the only book I did that way.
Yeah, I like it, too. And it's funny that you say Kurt Vonnegut. I was talking to my nephew about your book, and that's exactly it. I couldn't figure, he's a big Vonnegut fan. And that's exactly like Breakfast of Champions, same thing, where he jumps around.
Right.
Stream of consciousness, kind of, in a way.
Well, it makes the book into kind of a puzzle. You know, you gotta get that. You don't follow it in chronological order.
Yeah. It's interesting because even if you look at your chapters, you know, like you crack me up, like you've got one, Dog Pound, Doggone It, Ma and Company, Christmas Party, Smoking and the Single Mom. And it's just really funny how you did that. Was it fun to write?
Yes, it was. Written 4.5 books. The half book is one I'm working on now called The Event. And Petrie, I did within a year. I mean, I'd get up, go to work. I owned a dump truck. So work construction sites. So I'd be thinking about stories. Then I come home, and I'd stay up late at night writing Petrie. The delay, I wrote it in about 3 months. The delay was getting it proofread and all that grammatical stuff, which I'm not all that good. I'm a good storyteller, but I had to learn the writing part of it.
Yeah.
And it was my favorite. To compare by example, I've been working on The Event, which is a sequel to Petrie, for about 3 years. I think I'm up to chapter 4. It's a little bit slower on that. But, yeah, I like the throw a little wit and humor. That's how we get through life.
Exactly. I agree with you. We are kindred spirits. It's about humor, absolutely. And what I like is that in your book, you thank one of your dogs. You thank Rocky because you talk about the fact that when you were writing, he would crawl under your desk, he would sleep with his head on your feet, like all that kind of stuff.
Yep, he's right here with me now. So he's a rescue dog that we've had for 12 years. So I am very thankful he's here. But he's here for the interview.
Yeah, there you go. What do you hope people take away from reading Petrie, Son of Dog?
Well, I don't mean it to be offensive. It's a secular book. It's kind of like Santa Claus. But it's got Jesus in it. So I want people to get the spiritual. I'm a Christian, and I love dogs. So I want people to kind of take away the spiritual bond between man and his canine friends. And also a little bit of maybe the world's not as real as we think.
Ooh. Yeah, because of course you said Petrie was murdered in 1968 and as a ghost.
Right. He was a ghost.
Certainly.
And he was a 12-year-old boy when he was murdered. And he ages as a ghost, so he only has a limited time frame. But it's a very important time frame.
Yeah.
Kind of leading up to like an apocalypse thing, which is what I put into The Event.
Yeah.
But in Petrie, it ends with Fred at the very end. So in a couple of short stories.
Yeah, I like it. I think about your path, and you will go to Old Dominion. You're in the Army, and I'm thinking, what do your Army buddies say? I think your Army buddies would like this book.
I'm hoping they would, and many of them do, but I haven't talked. I've lost contact with a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Norfolk, a Navy town, and I went Army. And my youngest son called me up and says, "Dad, I just enlisted in the Navy. I know you're going to be mad," because he grew up here around Fort Hood, Texas, the largest Army base in the free world. I go, "Nope, you're just a chip off the old block."
That's right. Go the opposite direction.
Yeah. We don't know what we want, but we know what we don't want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Petrie, Son of Dog is funny, very Vonnegut-like, and you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can pick up books. Thanks for coming on, James.
Well, thank you, Kate. I surely appreciate this.
Yeah, anytime we can talk about dogs, and he had such a great sense of humor, I thank him and his son, of course, for their service. And I loved his story about how they went the opposite way. After all, he said it. He is his son, right? We haven't talked about this in a while on the show, but when we look at the world that we live in with the vaccinated, unvaccinated, masks, how many of the population are going in what direction and what are states doing, and what about hospitalization rates and tracking the cases. And, of course, in the beginning we were doing that a lot. And what about boosters? And throughout the week I'll sprinkle some of that in, because, you know, walking around the airport, everybody had to be masked in Burbank, and there wasn't any incidents, and people put their masks on. It wasn't a problem. I saw people kind of wiping down things around them. I talked to somebody who sat next to me who got COVID and had, she was young, 20, 25, and had an autoimmune problem, but was healthy and thought she got it from being in a grocery store, because she wasn't very many places. There was only one other place she said she had gone for a hair appointment. You know, this is, and she said it was terrible because she couldn't breathe, she couldn't drink water for a week, and really was worried, but bounced back after that. Had a fog where she couldn't remember things. I've heard that from some people who have gotten COVID. So certainly there are people that are getting COVID, but are we seeing a decline? Are we seeing, you know, a rise? There were way too many people when it comes to overall numbers of deaths. But in some places of the country, we are seeing that the ICUs, again, are more opened up, thank goodness. And there are others that are worried and struggling with that. The Delta wave is subsiding, but the number of deaths is still, the concern is still high. Deaths are about 1,500 a day. And that was what we saw kind of at the end of the winter surge before vaccines were available. I mean, look, it's an open-ended question with this SOB that we live with that's so elusive. You know, what is the reality of all of this moving into the future? It's just uncertain. That's what it is. The next 3 to 6 weeks, I guess we'll see. According to scientists and doctors, they think that we'll see where it's going. You know, that some people are optimistic, but, you know, there have been 713,345 that have been reported deaths of COVID since February 29th, 2020. And it's good if it's subsiding. I mean, gosh, that's what we want, right? Let's get out of the woods. But it's all about looking at the trends and monitoring where they're going and what hasn't leveled up. I guess the upper Midwest and mountain states, cases and death rates are kind of still where they were. Colorado, Montana, Minnesota, generally increasing, but is it slowing down a little bit in some areas? Yes, it is. Is it a plateau? What does it mean? Is it local? Of course it's local, because that's where the surges are. Everything leads to local. In the states, cases can dwindle, but a spread can happen in a small pocket. Hang with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. planning to reopen its land borders to fully vaccinated Canadians and Mexican citizens. As a senior administration official has told reporters, travel restrictions will be eased next month for America's neighbors visiting for non-essential reasons. That will be expanded in early January to any fully vaccinated foreign traveler crossing the land borders. The border restrictions have been in place since the start of the pandemic. A short-term debt limit extension through Capitol Hill, now waiting for President Biden's signature. The measure passed late Tuesday extends the federal debt limit into early December, temporarily avoiding a first-ever government default on debt obligations that would have happened on October 18th. President Biden is to meet with top officials from U.S. ports on Wednesday, looking into supply chain problems that have caused shortages. The CEO of Southwest Airlines is in the face of criticism, claiming problems over the past few days have not been caused by the company. Gary Kelly saying on CNBC it takes several days to catch up when an airline gets behind with delays and cancellations, which in this case it did because of weather problems and air traffic control issues, which he says began on Saturday morning.
So by the end of the day, we had significant numbers of airplanes and flight crews that were totally out of position. Any aviation expert knows it just takes several days to get everything back aligned.
A man is hospitalized after an Astros celebration went too far. Police in Houston say the man was accidentally shot by a friend in the aftermath of the Astros MLB victory. In the American League Division Series, the victim expected to survive. A down day Tuesday on Wall Street. The Nasdaq lost 20 points. The Dow lost 117. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man
cave. Welcome to the man cave, and boy, oh boy, has it been a wild 24 hours, really, in the world of sports. John Gruden gone as the coach of the Los Angeles Raiders. No, that was a while ago. Of the Las Vegas Raiders, and so much money was pumped into him. Remember, 10 years, $100 million contract. I'd love to have known his conversation with Mark Davis. We'll get into that a little bit. There's been so much conversation about things that were said and emails and his bowing out and just the world of sports and others reacting to those emails. And I guess the NFL is saying they didn't have any plans to release the emails, but then there was a push to get those emails released. What did they say and what do we know about them? And then what a wild week in the NFL. You know, we do Nail the Score. That comes up in our last segment of our first hour on our Wednesday show. So any of you can compete in that. It's easy. You don't have to know anything about sports. I pick a game of the week. You pick a side. You tell me what you think the final score is going to be. And there's no score that's too weird or wild or whatever or lopsided, because we see how lopsided so many of the scores were this past week. I mean, it was just an insane week in football. And you think about some of these quarterbacks and how what they're showing us. And I mean quarterbacks that weren't talked about probably enough. You know, what are some of these key takeaways? I mean, how about the Chiefs losing to the Bills 38-20? So think about your quarterback outplaying the great Patrick Super Bowl winning Mahomes. And yes, Josh Allen. And Josh Allen had 374 yards and 4 touchdowns in that win. Just absolutely incredible. The Bills are more than for real. I mean, they're starting to look like one of the best teams in the AFC. Yeah, how about that? And then if I look at a couple of other stories, and there's so many. You have Tom Brady dealing with a thumb injury. I mean, the king of quarterbacks for the Buccaneers. And he had his thumb taped up in his post-game press conference, and he said he injured his thumb during the game, but it's probably not serious. If, because it was going to keep him out, he wouldn't have showed up at the press conference and probably, you know, talked about it. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And then Jacksonville, they lost their 20th straight game. They became just the second team in NFL history to lose at least 20 straight games. The only longer streak, 45 years ago, when the Buccaneers lost 26 straight during a streak that went from 1976 to 1977. And speaking of bad luck, how about the Lions? The Lions, the first team in NFL history to lose multiple games in the same season on a field goal of 50 or more yards with time ticking away. 2 weeks after losing to the Ravens on Justin Tucker's amazing 66-yard field goal, the Lions lost to the Vikings on a 54-yard kick on Sunday. Wow, the poor Lions. Two of those losses through week five, that is hard luck, baby. Chargers exploding. I mean, just exploding. The Chargers scored 26 points in the fourth quarter against the Browns. The most points they've scored in the game's final quarter since 1991. So the Chargers with the big win in what looked to be a game that they had no chance in. And so they came back. And the big winner, Justin Herbert. Herbert was, you know, a guy that kind of fell under the wire for some people. He threw for 398 yards, four touchdowns in that 47-42 win over the Brownies. And boy, oh boy, I mean, they're one of the top teams in the AFC. You never know. Right? I mean, that's the thing about the NFL. And that's why I say it's so interesting to watch. The same thing to me with college football. A couple of other quick notes. You know, the Falcons brought the Jets back to reality 27-20. They beat them. So Matt Ryan, breathing a sigh of relief in a sense, because it's their second win, he throws for 342 yards and two touchdowns. Look pretty good. Packers again in overtime. And I say again on a Crosby, that's the again. Mason Crosby, a 49-yarder after three misses. So he falls back into very good graces because it was a nightmare day for him. But the Packers won 25-22, so they're 4-1 over the Bengals. The Steelers beat the Broncos 27-19. Roethlisberger, a couple of touchdowns, and it was a game they needed. They're 2-3. I mentioned the Buccaneers and Tom Brady's thumb, but of course the Buccaneers beat the Fish, the Dolphins, pretty easy, 45-17. The Saints with a big win over Washington, 33-22. Jameis Winston had to love that. He connected on a Hail Mary touchdown. Tick, tick, tock. You gotta love it. Overall, four touchdowns for Winston. And how about the Eagles? Just when you think the Birds are down and out, Jalen Hurts runs for two touchdowns. Eagles came back to beat the Panthers. The Panthers coming back down to earth, 21-18. So beaten by back-to-back by two NFC East teams, meaning the Panthers. Patriots beat the Texans 25-22, and that's one of those, wow, how bad is Houston kind of things. And the Cowboys, I mean, the Cowboys are on a big, giant, huge roll. Dak Prescott, again, 302 yards, three touchdowns. The Cowboys are 4-1 and look ferocious, 44-20. Again, it was the Giants, but I think they look really, really good, and I don't believe many people would disagree with me. They win the NFC East. Come on, come on. Cardinals, talk about looking good. They really look good. They're 5-0. They beat the 49ers 17-10. And then let's top this off. Monday night, I'm in Los Angeles, go out to dinner watching the game. the Ravens have it under control. It's going to be the Ravens, right? Or no, the Colts have it under control. It's going to be the Colts game, and you're like, what happened to the Ravens? The Ravens come back, and they beat the Colts in overtime, 31-25. Lamar Jackson, 442 yards, 4 touchdowns. He rushes for 62 yards, and the Ravens scored 22 unanswered points to beat the Colts. The Colts are 1-4. The Ravens are 4-1. I mean, I was shocked. I thought, well, everybody has one of those games, but that seems odd. And odd it was, because they ended up winning the game. Just crazy. All right, how about the NFL Players Association? They're petitioning the NFL to release all of the emails from the Washington football team investigation after John Gruden's resignation. I mean, it's like a culture thing, right? The leaked emails from the investigation showed that Gruden used racist, misogynistic, anti-gay language to which led to ultimately his resignation on Monday night. 650,000 emails were reviewed as part of the investigation into workplace misconduct for the Washington football team. And so, yeah, the Players Association is saying, we want to see it. It's outrageous. We want to see what has happened in this 10-month-long investigation involving witnesses and documents and what was going on in Washington. So one of Gruden's emails included a couple of things. It included, yeah, I said the racist comments, but he also, I guess, had talked about a few other things in his emails. Again, things about women referees, things about the first gay football player who was drafted. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? So Gruden's resignation came after the New York Times reported what he used, the anti-gay language in these email and misogynistic comments, etc. And they were all in these emails to Bruce Allen, who was the president of the Washington football team and others during a 7-year period that ended in 2018. So that report came out after 10-year-old emails from Gruden surfaced that included these other comments, including criticisms of Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. Yeah. So there were some people defending him, but there were mostly people that were saying, well, he would say one thing, and then he was part of this whole culture deal. And, you know, it's... Again, there was nowhere for this to go, but and no way for this to end but badly for John Gruden. Now the Buccaneers also too. The Buccaneers, because remember he was the head coach of the Buccaneers. So the Buccaneers announced they're going to remove his name from the team's ring of honor because they say he just doesn't belong there. They did a big ceremony, made a big deal about it in December of 2017 during a Monday Night Football cast, because remember, he was part of ESPN until he got that job in 2018 with the Raiders and became that $100 million coach. So there's more to follow, I'm sure, with this. It's a really wild turn of events. So it's not just one comment. It's a lot of different comments, and it's these emails. And, you know, what happens with these emails is the key. Are they going to be made public in a sense, because the players' union is going to get them, so we know that something could become of that. And then I'm going to throw this one in just for good measure, because I haven't even talked enough baseball. I think when we do go into the man cave, the Astros routed the White Sox to reach their 5th straight ALCS. How about that? So you still have Houston playing strong. I mean, there's all that stuff in the past about the cheating, etc., and stealing signals and what were they doing. But that's history, I think, for some fans anyway, of the great game of baseball. So the Astros advanced to their 5th consecutive American League championship. All right, we're closing the door to the man cave. Hang with us. I'm going to introduce you to a really awesome author next. We'll be right back. is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We go to England right now for a conversation with Michael Comiskey, and I'll tell you what, he is popping out these novels like nobody's business. He's up to 5 novels, and we're going to talk about a couple of them and then give you a little sneak about his next one, because I'm super interested in that, and I think a lot of you will be too. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm only too pleased.
What led you, I mean, I know you were a teacher. We talked off the air about your teaching background. What led you to become a writer, to write these novels?
Well, I've always been interested in the creative process. Having been a sculptor for many years, and for 10 years as the resident artist with the Newtown Development Corporation, and the writing came about, as I said, in Trinidad whilst I was living there. It just seemed appropriate to make a note of things that were happening around me. And to start with, the writing was very much realistic and observational. It was only sometime later as I started to apply the same kind of thinking as I do with sculpture, and started to make up stories. And then I became interested in people in odd situations. And really, that's the backbone of most of my writing.
Yeah, the people in odd situations. And you started with The Huntsman, And that was, so that's your very first book. And I asked you when we were speaking, behind the mic, I like to call it, what your favorite was, but was that kind of like picking a child? And you said yes, but there's something special about the first one. There's no question about that. So tell us about The Huntsman and what that story is about.
Well, it's really about a writer who has lived a very sheltered life, and who was brought up by his mother in a very Catholic situation. So the iconography of the Catholic religion plays some part in his background, and he finds it very strange when he meets a group of people who are very different. And it takes him some time to accommodate the situation when he moves to North Yorkshire to finish his book. He meets up with a community of people who have very strange beliefs and very strange practices. Really, the story is about how he accommodates that and begins to accept that people are not the same as he is.
I like that. They're not the same as he is. And you go from the Huntsman to another book that we talked about, and An Undiscovered Country. And this is, the listeners will remember that I've taken them to Ireland several times. And boy, that is an interesting country. And you really delve into that in that book. How'd that come about?
Well, my dad's family were all Irish. And so I was brought up on stories about Ireland. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. And some of the characters in there are based on real people. I thought they were sufficiently interesting to make a note about. And especially the young lady who the story is really about, Lorna, and her background. And her development, I've tried to make it so that her development matches the development of Ireland in the way that the peace process came about. So that each chapter begins with a part from her diary plus an article from the newspapers of the time, and then the story itself. So that the thing has a contemporary feel, I hope, so that it's placed in a situation where people can identify with. And Ireland's a very interesting country anyway. And as I said, some of the characters are based on real people. Like my paternal grandfather apparently was a bit of a rogue, and the character of Lorna's father is based on him.
And I like that. So, for doing this book, The Undiscovered Country, did you have to do a lot of research? It sounds like sometimes when you're doing this, you're doing some research on this. I mean, you're a teacher, so you know.
Yes, I had to do a lot of research. I have a terrible memory. So I have to write everything down. So I'm furiously scribbling away all the time, which doesn't make me very good company, I'm afraid.
But it makes you a good writer, so there you go.
Well, hopefully.
So we move from Ireland to something different, a love story in Private Gestures. Tell me about Private Gestures.
Yes, well, we're dealing here with a young man who has been divorced for some time, and he uses the excuse of an elderly friend's funeral to go back to the north from the south of England, in the hope that he will come across his wife again, or his ex-wife. And really, the story is really the tension that creates whilst he pretends to be doing something, he's really doing something else. It's a small book, but it's really just a love story. His love story.
Yeah, you have another one that's coming out and it's the next one. It's not out yet, but it's called Yankee Dawn, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And tell us about that. I think that's pretty interesting, the premise of that.
Well, it's quite different from the others. For a change, it takes a sort of thriller format. There's a series of crimes committed in England at the same time as an American arrives in England who is very high up in the Scientology religion or movement or whatever it wants to be called. And he has very strong views about how a country should be run and goes to great lengths to try and influence the way that this country is run. He takes over a whole area of criminology, the drug trade, for example, and tries to do the same thing with all sorts of other areas where he influences the development of different things and tries to impress his beliefs on everyone else. And it's the struggle that takes place amongst a couple of policemen who are against all this, and they try and stop him. And that's really the nub of the story.
Well, we'll wait for that one to come out for sure. I think that has an interesting plot, no question about that. What do you hope, Michael, people take away from reading any of your books that we talked about?
I just hope that they get a certain amount of amusement. I'm not too serious, but I would like to think that people are prompted to think about situations that I propose, and that by thinking about them, they glean some entertainment.
And that's the perfect reason to write a novel, absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the show. And we want to tell everyone you can get Michael Kaminsky's books on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
Kaminsky has such an interesting story himself. I mean, he was raised basically in north of England. His grandparents were immigrant families, one side from Ireland, the other from, I think he said Italian, Italy and Sicily. So imagine what an interesting, lively conversation you would have with so many of those people. And his writing is interesting. Again, the various different novels that we just talked about there. So I love that when we go to Author's Corner and we have people with their own varied backgrounds, and how they bring it to the page is really quite fascinating. You know, we're there where we talked about, Huntsman and what's Huntsman about, What were some of the troubles that were part of Undiscovered Country, and how that all unfolded in Undiscovered Country, and et cetera. And of course, that has to deal with Ireland. They say, write about what you know. On that note, thanks to Michael, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people, and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.